Revenue Chat episode 145.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. I'm going on television in the near future as Revenue Chat TV. I'll be broadcasting over many platforms such as Amazon, Apple, Roku, the Voice America TV Network, and others. Now, my show format will inevitably change a little as I may ask guests to help solve current business and marketplace issues, things like that. Now, regardless of any adjustments, you continue to get experts in their field who share their knowledge with the audience. I think you're going to like it. And when it goes live, you'll see the shows on my mobile app at tonydurso.com/mobile. Download that now and you will see and hear my other weekly talk shows. Currently, column one is The Spotlight, which focuses on high-profile celebrities who give great insight on their journey to success. You get good advice and information that you can use in your life and business. And column two has my Revenue Chat radio podcasts, such as the show you're listening to now. When the TV show comes on, you'll catch it on this app, so please go ahead and download it at tonydurso.com/mobile. All right, today we set the stage for Revenue Chat with Hank Moore talking about why good businesses go bad. And for our Revenue Crew audience, here's some facts about our guest, Hank Moore. Well, first, his new book, Nonprofit Legends, has been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. I mean, that's amazing. He's been inducted into seven halls of fame, including, get this, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's listed with some of the most famous high-profile business people in the world, such as Peter Drucker, Tom Peters, and Stephen Covey. He's been to multiple World Economic Summits, and the list goes on and on. Superlative, stupendous, amazing, awesome. I could just say so much. Any one of these events is incredible by themselves, and here you are with an overload, Hank.
That's true. Well, we call it an aggregate of experiences, you know. We serve the next clients from what we've learned from the previous ones.
Well, great. And I want to thank you for taking the time to hang out with us on Revenue Chat. We are honored to have you here as our special guest. And we want to ask you, as I've just mentioned a little bit on some of your profile, you've been there, done that with so much. I like to know, Hank, with everything you've done in your life, what made you get into the business world of economy and finance?
Well, it all started out at a 1,000-watt radio station in a little town called Austin, Texas. And I started my career as a radio disc jockey. At the tender age of 10, the owner of the radio station subsequently became president of the United States. His name was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow.
He mentored me, and his wife, Lady Bird, was my mentor. And I was always mentored to be a big picture visionary. And in those early years, I did it around the government. I was a policy person, not an intern. And so when my boss became president, I went from being a disc jockey to being a White House advisor at the age of 16. 16.
So here you are in the radio. You're being a disc jockey. You're a kid. And you're
groomed into doing world politics in the White House? Yeah, to be a big picture visionary. And the people who groomed me were Lyndon Johnson, Lady Bird Johnson, Bill Moyers, and then they introduced me to people like Winston Churchill and Eleanor Roosevelt and on and on and on and on.
That's astounding, Hank. They,
of course, also mentored me to be a community leader. That's why the current book, Nonprofit Legends, is currently out. It's like the business of running and maximizing the worth of nonprofit organizations. My upcoming book, which comes out next month, is The Big Picture of Business, and it's a big overview. So I was always the big picture overview person even then. And so when during those 5.5 years, in the Washington years, my areas of expertise were civil rights, environmental, international trade, and the World's Fair.
I still can't get over the fact that a kid, if you must excuse me, is there in the White House working and taking care of these types of matters with world leaders. It's just this is astounding.
Well, it talks about trust, and that's what happens in business at all levels, especially small business. And because small businesses represent 99.7% of all new business starts, and they have a good lasting power. So after my White House years, I went into corporate America and started advising companies. And since that time, I've had about 5,000 clients. That's what I've done for the last 4 years. A lot of consultants out there in business don't have a real long track record. You know, they used to do something else 5-10 years ago. And so, but for those of us that all we do is big picture strategy. You know, research tells us only 2% of the consultants out there in business really are, that most of them are selling something. So we work with the clients to develop what they need to do and how they need to get there, not what we have to sell. And revenue and money, of course, is part of it. Of course, technology is part of it, core business, on and on and on and on. And so, but it all has to operate under the umbrella of big picture strategy. So that's what I do. And
that's absolutely
I've advised 100 of the Fortune 500 companies. I've been involved in several corporate roll-ups and public offerings and so on and so forth, and work with an awful lot of small businesses as well, because small businesses are nimble and can move on a dime. So, you know, they just need the strategy, and so that's what I do. I go into rooms and think tanks and planning sessions and help them develop their big picture strategy, and then when I leave the room, they're their ideas.
All right. Now, our audience here on Revenue Chat is comprised of entrepreneurs, small business, as well as people in careers and corporate level. And they're all thinking to some degree, hey, my business is running well. It's doing all right. I've got my goals for the year. And let's categorize them as being a good business. So now let's take that and go, well, why can a good business go bad? And I believe that there is because a crisis, an unexpected crisis can happen. Is that what makes a good business go bad?
A lot of times it's complacency. It's thinking that they have a good strategy when they really don't. They might be in the wrong core business for the wrong reason, or what they started out doing is not really necessarily applicable to what they are now. Then you get into they team up with the wrong people. They don't have the right revenue to do the things that need to be done. They do the wrong kind of marketing. There's all kinds of reasons, and it has to be, you know, looked at as part of a planning process. Research tells us, Harvard Business School research tells us, that only 2% of the companies in America actually have a strategic plan. That means that 98% do not. So a lot of these so-called good companies are fooling themselves into thinking, you know, having some money goals and some marketing objectives is fine, but that by itself is not a strategic plan.
No, and absolutely so not. 98% don't have a strategic plan. I would expect a lot more businesses to fail than fail right now. And that's actually makes great sense. Why most businesses fail is because they don't have that plan.
Well, that's right. And a lot of those that have plans, what they think is a plan isn't. I'm not one of those. I'll sit down even with the smallest businesses and I'll do what I call an institutional review. And I'll look at things that they're doing holistically in ways that their accountants or their bankers or their attorneys can't. You know, we look at what the corporate culture is, what the ability to grow is. Research also tells us that 66.7% of most businesses cannot grow any further. So sometimes part of the planning is telling the principal, enough is enough. Go stick with what you're doing and be happy about it. One of the biggest problems of business, and again, I've written 10 books now and working on book number 11 with three more coming. And what I've learned in my client work, and that's how I started writing books, was not because I was trying to peddle something in the back of the room but I was trying to write the kind of books that aren't out there. That's why I did Nonprofit Legends, because no one had ever written an encyclopedia for running nonprofits like a business, and plus all the heart and soul stuff that's a part of what they do. So the main thing is I started speaking and writing books on things that the other speakers and writers couldn't. And like when I was in business school a long time ago, which happened to coincide with my Washington years, you know, I'd go to college and they teach you marketing and maybe management and how to read a balance sheet. But the stuff that I do for a living, changing corporate cultures, doing big time roll ups, creating new industries, they don't teach you how to do that stuff. So I just basically started writing books that covered the stuff that I'd done for a living. I mean, you know, most people have never reorganized a major university system. What are the components? What does it require? And so I'll speak and write about that stuff with applicability to small business, because, you know, just because they're called a small business doesn't mean they're small. A lot of them are very big thinkers. So, yeah, that's the main thing, is sometimes a lot of people think, well, there's nothing wrong with my company. That's when the problems begin. They get very complacent.
I see.
I don't usually say the word complacent. I have sat down with CEOs, and some of them have been some of the biggest companies, you know, in America: Disney, Marriott, Hewlett Packard, AT&T, Texaco, United Way of America, on and on and on and on, and the small businesses. And what I try to do as an advisor is not take the approach, you guys are complacent, you guys have made mistakes, you guys have stood still. I take the approach, let's go back and look at what brought you success in the beginning. Let's try to make what changes we're making commensurate with what you did. You know, sometimes I have to do the Dutch uncle talk. You're at a stop. You know, you got to change or else. I try not to get them quite to that point. I'd rather be the friendly uncle, say, let's talk about how we can grow the business in different directions. And if all of your growth has been horizontal, let's talk about growing vertical. Let's talk about entering other markets. For example,
when you do something like that, by the way, do you find that because they're not growing or haven't grown, that when you do that type of work, you bring them back to their perhaps the original vision by the founder who set up the whole thing in the first place? Because after a while, after maybe several generations, things change.
Right.
Companies are no longer like the original founders have set them up.
No, and some of those companies, such as Disney, like to be seen as companies that have evolved, that didn't stand still. And I remember being in a management meeting as a speaker, talking to them about Walt Disney, who I had met. In fact, there's, you know, he's on the cover of one of my other books, Pop Icons and Business Legends. And I met Disney during my White House period at a presidential inauguration, no less. And Disney turns to me, I was 17 at the time, and he said, "Kid, don't forget this." I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Disney. What am I supposed to not forget?" He said, "There are 6 creative ways to regenerate every good idea. And if it doesn't have that many arms and legs to it, it's not a good idea." And sometimes up to, you know, it could be more. There's also 6 ways of taking good companies and making them go bad. You know, that gets into crisis management and preparedness. One of my other books was called The High Cost of Doing Nothing, and it's a business book, and it took the premise that most businesses spend 6 times more than they should each year cleaning up mistakes in businesses. There's that much inherent in the system that can go wrong. Research tells us that 1/3 of our nation's gross domestic product is dedicated to cleaning up mistakes. There is that much in the system that can and does go wrong. Now, when you're a business owner or principal or manager, the objective is to keep those coins from stacking up six times. You know, if we can only, you know, if we can clean up the problems before it gets to that point, then we're doing our shareholders and our customers a service. So a lot of good management and a lot of good, the work that I do with companies is giving them scenarios. Well, if you do nothing, here's what's going to happen. And here's how it could multiply even further. Now, if you think of some changes you want to make, let's talk about moderate changes, medium changes, and aggressive changes. So I do a lot of what-if scenarios with them. If you do this, then you could get that, that, and that result. If you do a little more aggressively, here's how you can go. That then becomes a plan of how we adapt our planning from not doing nothing to doing something to doing a lot to doing a whole lot. And when we're going to, you know, do all of that and how we're going to measure the effectiveness, that's good planning. You know, a strategic plan is not an esoteric document that you go through just to appease some people and then it sits on a shelf. You know, it does you no good if you can't implement it.
Absolutely amazing.
Is it true that a majority of new businesses fail? Check this out. In order to have a successful growing business, there are some vital points that you must know. You must have worked them out thoroughly. They must be synchronized with each other, and all employees, consultants, and companies that you depend on must know these items and be in agreement with them if your new business is to meet with a high percentage of success. Get it free. The Vision Map, Beat the Odds for Business Success at tonydurso.com/vision. Learn how to establish your vision, purpose, long-term objective, and master plan, including strategic and tactical planning. Get the Vision Map, Beat the Odds for Business Success at tonydurso.com/vision. V-I-S-I-O-N. And we're back with Hank Moore, who tells us why good businesses go bad.
I really appreciate you kind of walking us through some of this. And I'm still astounded back where you said 1/3 of our nation does absolutely nothing. No wonder so many good businesses can go bad or can tend to go bad, because any plan, as you say, is better than no plan. And if you're actually prepared, you're even more proofed against a particular crisis or something that can happen.
Yeah, yes. Of course, talking about crisis management preparedness, I've been involved, and in a couple of my books, notably my Business Tree book and in my next book, The Big Picture of Business, there are chapters on crisis management and preparedness. The biggest named crisis I was ever involved in as an advisor to the corporation. The client was Johnson & Johnson. The crisis was Tylenol, the tainted Tylenol product. And the objective was to restore public credibility in Tylenol quicker rather than later.
Hank, can you give us a quick snippet? Can you give us a quick snippet on what happened that the Tylenol was tainted?
Well, and this happened, it was somewhere up in the Midwest, there was batches of Tylenol that were tampered, and a handful of kids died, and there was an outcry at the time, as there frequently is when there's tainted product, you know, and suddenly the industry got very, very nervous. Well, people say, ask me all the time, gee, wouldn't it be nice to be a fly on the wall in that board of directors room when you're telling them what to do, when to do it, and how to do it? You know, wouldn't that be nice? Well, and people say, well, what did you do? Were they going crazy? No. We simply took the plan that we'd already developed off the shelf and put it in action. And in the case of Tylenol, we told the public what had happened. We tried to contain the bad batches. We then made some very nice, proactive, we take care of the customer comments, and then we used the media coverage, the outcry, to help get our tamper-proof caplet pushed through approval with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. So we used the crisis as an education opportunity to what responsible caplets could be. Therefore, when Tylenol came back on the market with the newly approved caplet, we got our product back on the market responsibly, and then some of the other pharmaceutical companies then followed suit. So that's what happens. One other quick example that comes to mind, I've been involved in a lot of them, and there was the Girl Scout cookies crisis, and where a batch of cookies had been tampered. And, you know, when you tamper with Girl Scout cookies, you're tampering with America.
Yes, that's you are. Good.
And you're affecting their downstream ability to do fundraising. So that's getting into nonprofit talk. But a lot of these big nonprofit organizations are big businesses too, and they should be run like businesses. And that's, you know, what you and I talked on another show when we talked about nonprofits. But anyway, so what happened in that case is we contained the crisis. We then used it as an educated opportunity to go back to our marketplace and assure them that it's the mark of a good company. Crises will occur, and the mark of it is how you handle it and move forward, rather than if you avoid it, like some corporations do.
Hank, we're kind of limited on time, just a little bit.
Okay.
Could you perhaps expound on this by giving some bullet points, perhaps for our Revenue Crew audience?
Sure.
Things that they could think of, you know, common mistakes perhaps that are made by businesses, so that people can, you know, have a little checklist and think about it and make sure, Revenue Crew audience, that you are doing these, because you never know when a crisis is going to hit. And odds are, as we've discussed, odds are you're not prepared for it. So let's get some points on that.
If you want to sit down and you want to do a very simple strategic plan. A strategic plan or a new way of looking at your business can be done probably in 3 pages. It doesn't have to be a 3-ring binder. And you want to look at the core parts of your business. What could go wrong? What could go right? And how can you can help plan to make them go right sooner? I have a concept which Peter Drucker endorsed, and it's called the business tree. And basically, there's 7 aspects. And if you address all 7 of the aspects of the business, then you'll have a more successful business. Bullet 1 is called core business. Understand that what you may have started out to become, you may have evolved into something different. Also see how additional business opportunities are coming along. You know, there's only 4 ways to grow a business. You sell new customers, you cross-sell existing customers, you create new products, or you joint venture to create new marketplaces that you couldn't have done on your own. That's number 1. You just really want to examine and fully understand what your core business is now and what it could be. Bullet point number 2 is what I call running the business. You know, widget makers, you know, are all dedicated to the widget that they sell and market. Problem is, they don't have the expertise at running widget-making companies, so you need to really examine your processes. Are they obsolete? Are they state-of-the-art? Branch 2 that I'm talking about on my business tree, I already talked about branch 1 is core business. Branch 2 is running the business, and that's your physical plant, your technology, all of that stuff, you know, how you manufacture. Branch 3, of course, is financial, which gets us to revenue chat, and that's 10% of the importance of the big picture of business. Don't cut the revenue and the money part of it. Don't give it short shrift. Understand, you know, payables and collectibles and all of that revenue enhancement part of the business. Bullet point number 4 is branch 4 on my business tree, which is people. You know, when businesses start cutting, and trimming the budgets and going through austerity programs, what do they cut the most? People. And people are your most valuable commodity. You know, you want to enhance their loyalty so they don't quit the company and go across the street and take intellectual property. You want to invest in the kind of quality training. Research, that's part of branch 4. Research tells us that the current American workforce needs 3 times the amount of training that they're getting presently in order to be competitive. And training is not defined as typing on a computer. Training is defined as developing thinking and reasoning skills and better ways of working people and getting more productive work. And then the bullet point number four is what I call business development. That's the other area that they want to cut. Companies want to cut when times get a little tough. And business development includes sales, marketing, advertising, public relations, research, that wonderful thing that no one ever wants to put money into, but we need to know about it. We need to better research the marketplace. So those five areas that I just described, core business, running the business, financial, people, and business development, those are the five main components. Problem is 99.999% of every employee and every consultant in business fits within one of those five categories.
For the Revenue Crew audience, if they want to read and study and get more in depth and drill down into these core points, where can they get the full business tree, please?
Well, they can, of course, on my website is www.hankmoore.com. The books, of course, are available on, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of that online. And if they get the book, The Business Tree will be the one that covers all this overview material we're talking about. The other one that I think would be applicable to this discussion would be Pop Icons and Business Legends, which just came out a couple of years ago.
That's the one with Disney on the cover.
Right, with Disney and Howard Hughes, who I met.
Oh, okay.
Steven Spielberg, Burt Bacharach, those guys. It's important to understand what the greats like Bill Gates and Lee Iacocca and all of them, Thomas Edison, what they did to make their companies magic. The important thing is if we get a little of their magic in our psyche, then we become the legends of the future. And small business people can really study the masters and grow. And that's the best thing you can say. And the only thing you then want to grow is to have that plan and avoid those crises.
Hank, and also you have a new book coming out, which may be out by the time this hits the world. What's the name of that book, please?
The Big Picture of Business. And it's an update of some of the material that was covered in The Business Tree, some of the material from a previous book that's now out of print called The High Cost of Doing Nothing, which is creative ways of remediating damage before the coins stack up. And there's a lot more, changing marketplaces in the computer technology age, what new kinds of businesses have come about and what we can still create. And I've got probably 100 case studies in there, and every one of them were my own. A problem with a lot of business books that are out there is most of them don't really say anything new, and the people who write them are chronicling what someone else did, not what they did.
A lot of these books are the person did not experience what they're saying themselves. They're just putting content together and issuing a book sort of thing.
Oh, of course. And I've had some of my case studies ripped off and put in other people's books. I mean, how many people have put the Tylenol case studies in their books, but they weren't in the room in Chicago when the crisis hit? I was.
I got you. Okay, makes sense. Hank, this has been a very invigorating conversation, talking a lot about business. It's a huge subject. I'm definitely going to have you back on Revenue Chat. Yeah. There's a lots to talk about. And if you had some closing comments for our Revenue Crew audience of entrepreneurs, small business owners, as well as there are C-level executives in our audience, what do you want to make sure that the audience takes away with in this interview, please?
Think bigger picture than you maybe thought you could. Don't be afraid to change. Change is 90% positive, so why do people fear what's most in their best interest? Benefit from change. Understand really carefully what your competitors are doing wrong, because a lot of time that's your best strategy is to look at their mistakes and improve. Research tells us we learn three times more from failure than we do from success. And if we do that, then that becomes our next success. And then the last couple of things I'd say is develop a plan. Become committed to some kind of a plan. A 2 or 3 page document to start out with. Really think, talk to some of your stakeholders and customers to help you develop the plan. You know, most small businesses don't reach out to other people for help. If they did, you would find people standing by your side and helping promote you and helping develop your business in ways you can't even imagine. And it all starts out with reaching out to stakeholders.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for all that. There's so much more I could say about that. Once again, Hank Moore, Why Good Businesses Go Bad. His website is hankmoore.com, and Moore as in M-O-O-R-E, hankmoore.com. Thank you so much, Hank. You're a futurist, you're a strategist, you know business. I just want to thank you so much for such a great interview on Revenue Chat.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Great. All right. And thank you, everyone. And stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. If you like this interview with Hank, would you kindly give me a review on iTunes? It's the purple icon on your Apple device. A sentence or two is just fine. Thanks in advance. Our next episode is with Bill Morgenstein talking about knockdown, get back up. Some facts about Bill. Past president of Kitty Kelly Shoe Corp. Great funny stories in his book on that. CEO Marquesa International and Marquesa Import Corp. Vice President Advance Me Corp. Senior Vice President Sterling Funding LLC. Area Governor Toastmasters International. Founder and Chairman of IFA, International Footwear Association. Past Executive VP and Founder of FDRA, Footwear Distributors and Retailers of America. Author of the popular book, The Crazy Life of a Kid from Brooklyn. Life member of 210 Associates, and much more. Bill talks about knockdown? Get back up on the next episode of Revenue Chat.
All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.